We had our Gerald Thanksgiving today because it's hard to get everybody's schedules together. So we're the kind of people that, we celebrate whenever it's convenient in the sense of the book of Colossians talk about some people, some days are special. To other people, all days are the same. Or our family, we're all days are the same. So that's why we had our Thanksgiving already, which is why I'm feeling like not preaching. I got just too much turkey and dressing in me. So I wanted to tell a couple of stories. I was searching the internet for one I really appreciated is this story came up. He said a large family was sitting around a breakfast table one morning, and as the customs, the father returned thanks, and blessing God for the food. And immediately afterwards, however, as was his bad habit, I'm sure he's the only one here who does this, he began to grumble, whatever that means, about hard times, the poor quality of the food he was forced to eat, the way it was cooked, and much more. And his little daughter interrupted him and said, "Dad, do you suppose God heard what you said a little while ago when you were giving thanks?" "Well, certainly," the father replied with the confident air of an instructor. "And did he hear what you said about the bacon and the coffee?" "Well, of course," replied the father with a note of caution in his voice. Then his daughter said, "Dad, which did God believe? The giving of thanks or the grumbling?" And I often wonder, do we do that? You know, are we a people that give thanks with 1 minute and grumble the next over the same thing we're giving thanks for? You know, like children and things, spouses. Our country, you know. 1 minute we're blessing it, next minute we're cursing it, you know. And it's really quite easy to do without really thinking about it. You know, purpose go around wanting to knock anything or anybody, but it's amazing how many times I myself find that I'm saying something's coming out of my mouth, I'm going, whoa, that doesn't sound very encouraging. I really, really enjoyed this story about a missionary, a veteran missionary who went and introduced himself to the preacher after and says, "I was a medical missionary for many years in India. And I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with good vision, but there was something in that area caused people to lose their sight as they matured. But this missionary had developed a process that would arrest the progressive blindness, so people came to him and he performed his operation and they would leave realizing that they would have become blind, but now they were going to be able to see for the rest of their lives." And he said they never said thank you because that phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, "I will tell your name." Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. And they had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. "I will tell your name." And I thought that so much about each and every one of us. I'm sure that each and every one of us have had this experience according to the Gospel of John. You remember the story of the blind man? I think it's in John chapter 9, where Jesus heals him and then they start arguing about, well, you know, was he born blind and this, and they're arguing it. Instead of just saying, "Come, mate, this guy was blind," and they interrogate him, and they interrogate his parents, and they interrogate somebody else, and they go on and on and on about it, which you think in the church we do that a lot. We keep kind of interrogating the Bible and everything else about whether it's true and is that today and everything else. And I just love the way the guy said it. He said, "Listen, I don't know." He said, "But one thing I know, I was blind and now I can see." And he said that he would remember his name. He will tell of his name. And if we're thankful Christians, which I know we are, and we're thankful people living in this great land, then I think that's something that we should, thank you is a little lame, isn't it? They say that at the checkout at Hannaford's. You know, they don't mean it. I don't care. It's not going in their pocket. It's going in Hannaford's till. They don't care if you come or go to ShopRite. They just say it, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, have a nice day. They couldn't care less about that either, but praise God, thanks. But you know, if we didn't have that phrase and we just had a word, I will tell your name. So every time somebody helped you, every time somebody did something for you, you would speak that person's name wherever you went. That, I think, is what the gospel is all about. I think when I asked earlier who wanted to preach, I think what happened is a lot of people go, oh, God, I don't want to preach. Stand up in public. Ah, no. You know, give me root canal first. But really, all it is can you tell his name? Tell his name and add a little to it. Add a verse or two you may know, or a story where you've given thanks in your life. Really, that's where it all starts. First time I preached, I just preached. I told my story. I didn't know much. I just knew I was blind, and now I could see. So I began to tell his name. I'd encourage you to think about that. And we're having a bit of a problem with the projector tonight, apparently. I wanted to just read a little bit out of Luke 17. There's a Bible in front of you if you want to pick it up. And again, if you don't have a Bible at home, please take that Bible home with you. You're welcome to it. And so it's a story of Jesus. I love the beginning. It's Luke. Luke 17 begins verse 11. And I just love the way it starts. It says, now it happened. Don't you love that? Now it happened. See, a lot of things in life are like that. You know, we all think it's some master huge plan. No, it just happened. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, noting there needs to be an act of faith involved when Jesus tells you to do something. As they went, they didn't stand there waiting for the healing. They moved on their faith. As they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, well, weren't there 10 of you that were clean? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a leper. Is there any... James, is that Q? Do you think we could just show the... I just want to show this. It's only about a minute, this video. Hit the lights there, champ. And yeah, let's see. You'll see some lepers in this Overland Missions. That's leprosy. See his foot? That's a serious case of leprosy. If I was healed from something like that, I would expect to turn around and come running and fall on my face and give thanks. Funny how 9 of them didn't. And I don't understand that. I'm not saying what we should and what we shouldn't do. But, you know, I often think, I was telling a young guy just earlier about when you get saved at 29 years old, it's amazing what goes through your head for 29 years. And a lot of it doesn't go away because you may know the Prince and Power of the Air does have a video of your life and replays it whenever he wishes. And that's why you need the renewing of the mind that Romans 12 talks about, that you bring those thoughts into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. But I realized that there are many, I certainly was one of them, that was a leper, but not on the outside, but on the inside. That on the inside I was rotting, I was dying, I was unable to walk properly in this world, I was unable to walk righteously before God because of the rot, the way it had rotted my limbs, my spiritual limbs and my spiritual hands and feet. And I thank God that when Jesus gets a hold of you, that he cleanses you. But there's something about coming back to Jesus and falling on your face and worshiping him that brings more out of you than just your ordinary kind of daily life. I want to encourage you because, you know, maybe we don't like to think about the fact. Do you mean to say, what, you're telling me that's going on? No, I'm not saying that's going on inside of you. I'm saying that you were born with that inside of you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. The Bible says we were shaped in sin. We were born in iniquity. So we were born with leprosy, if you like, in the soul, in the darkness of our soul. And we needed to be cleansed. And that cleansing is enough for me to give thanks for the rest of my life. I know what a rotten sinner I was. I know how bad I was. And so that's another thing I want to encourage you people, how, you know, so many of us don't feel qualified enough to serve God. And that's why Colossians 1:12 is one of my life-changing verses. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Isn't that enough to give thanks? I don't know how many of you guys got degrees. I know many of you have worked hard and you got your degrees and some of you got masters and doctorates and everything else. And I congratulate you. And I'm really thankful. But all I know is it doesn't matter how much you try and qualify yourself in this world, you're never actually good enough, if you get my drift. You know, like they actually graduate from kindergarten these days, which was mind-blowing. First time I heard that. Oh, it's a picture of my little granddaughter. I said, why is she wearing a cap and gown? How old is she? She said, six. Six? Six? What? Oh, she's graduating kindergarten. I mean, what? I couldn't get it. I went, huh? I mean, it's mind-blowing. We don't even graduate high school in England. You just leave. What's today? Oh, it's the last day of school. I see. I'm not saying that's right either. You know, I prefer the American way of celebrating. Don't get me wrong. The Brits are a bit stoic and stuck up and etc. And getting worse at rugby every year. But anyway. But can you imagine, you graduate as kindergarten, then you go to grade school and graduate again, and then you go to high school and become a junior. Can you imagine, you've already had two or three graduations and you're now a junior. Think about that. How many graduating certificates you got? Six! And what are you? Bottom of the food chain. Right? You're a junior again. And so you slave another 4 years and get another cap and gown, and you're now a junior in college. When does this ever stinking stop, for God's sake? When am I ever good enough? You see what I'm saying? Life's like that. You get my point. And then you go degree and postgrad, et cetera, et cetera. And then what? And then you become a junior at some corporation. Oh, God, mate. Colossians 1:12. Think about it again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Isn't that awesome? Giving thanks to the Father who has made us good enough. That one man qualified me to serve him. And because of that qualification, then who knows what we can go and do in this world. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to think about that. Especially some people of, you know, I don't know what kind of churches you grew up in, you know, the sort of never good enough kind of church. You know, one day you'll make it, but probably just about three breaths before you die. And I don't know. I want to encourage you to think about this. The greatest way to understand your salvation is to live a life of constant thanksgiving. All the time. This is why the scriptures, we all know it in the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. I want to say this to you kind of as emphatically as I could be, as if I'm unusual for me to say that. It's impossible to be in the will of God if you're not thankful. Impossible. If you're not thankful, you're a grumbler. You know, which one of these is God listening to? You know what I'm saying? The children of Israel, what was their problem? They weren't thankful. They were grumblers. It wasn't the sins of fornication or the sins of this. It was the fact they were grumblers. And because they were grumblers, God said, oh, all right, we'll stinking walk around for another 40 years till you change your attitude. Or preferably drop dead in your case. I'll raise up somebody else. You get my drift. Isn't that what it was? Think about it. The children of Israel that came out of Egypt, their biggest problem is they were grumblers, not thanksgivers. It's really simple. You know, we all think Christianity is rocket science. It ain't. It's just a case of, are you a thankful person? And let me just make something clear, right? Are you listening? Are you sure? You may want to preach this one day. It says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. Right? So when you get sick, you go, you go, oh, thanks, Lord. That's grumbling. So when you're sick, in the sickness, you give thanks. Not for the sickness, because that didn't come from God. Are you with me? In the sickness, you give thanks. For this is the will of God. And the more you learn to give thanks, the more you'll find the true call of God begins to come out of your spirit. Which, while I'm on the subject, I want to give thanks for a couple of people. I want to thank God tonight for a guy I haven't known long, but he's really become very precious in my life, and that's Vinny. Vinny, stand up before I knock you down. This man. This man. I want to give thanks for him because he has such a thankful attitude. His health isn't at his best. But he's here every week whenever he can help Jim. He's there moving furniture, delivering bread, whatever he can do, because he's found a new way in life, and that is to start giving thanks for things. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you. You know, you're going to be amazed of who the heroes of heaven are going to be. It ain't going to be all the preachers and all the prophets and all the evangelists. It's going to be some of the people whose hearts were radically changed by Jesus, and they constantly gave thanks from that day forth. I'll be honest with you, another guy I really want to give thanks for is James from Virginia. Stand up, James. This guy. He only got right with the Lord this year, wasn't it? Don't you love that? Yes, sir. You guys need to learn this. James, get him, take him to a class. He's a Virginian. Of course he's polite. You're only a Yankee. In your face, New Yorker. But James, ever since he got saved, straight away, he wanted to do the right thing. But he changed his attitude, changed his lifestyle, everything about him, because he realized that he needed to give thanks for the rest of his life. And he's walking that walk. And I'm really thankful for things like that. Another one I want to give thanks for is my old buddy, Joe. The guy who's half Jewish and half Italian, and I don't know which. Is Joe, stand up. This guy. Stay standing a minute, Joe. The reason I thank God for Joe, he admits that 2 years ago, he was in a very ordinary place in the kingdom. Very ordinary. In fact, the night that changed his life was when somebody from Overland Missions came to our church and preached one message, and that night, Joe and Bob, who's out leading worship in another church tonight, praise God, Bob Inuso, that's when they decided to go on the three-month Overland Missions, changed their lives, and And then he was down there, he drove a truck, him and John Walker. John, stand up. I want to give thanks for John Walker, this guy. He had a heart's desire to go to Africa 25 years ago, and it didn't happen. And when he heard for this opportunity to drive these trucks from Holland to Zambia, he said, I got to do it. And I remember sitting with John saying, John, this, what about your marriage? What about your business? What about your son? His son had a life-threatening accident, was hit by a 30-pound rock in his head, nearly killed him. And he was convinced he had to go, and go he did. At 55 years old, drove from Holland to Africa. I'm saying this because you don't have to do that to be a hero for God, because Vince hasn't done that. Are you with me? And James hasn't done that. But they're people who know how to give thanks. Joe, by the way, did I tell you to sit down? After he drove to Zambia, did you hear me telling him to sit down? No, I didn't tell you to sit down. After he drove to Zambia, he stayed down there for the rest of the year, running the base down there at the usual pay. Actually, it was twice the usual pay. Nothing. And when he came back, after being away for a year, he wanted to get involved. So what did he do? He went up to Amber, who is our service coordinator, and said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to run the host team. He said, okay. He ain't got a clue how to do it. But he is our new man who's running the host team. You remember Bob Flynn a few weeks ago wanted to do something else, change his seat on the bus? Well, now Joe is running the host team Saturday and Sunday because he's a servant and the job needed to be done. Thanks for you, Joe. Sit down. Last one I want to give thanks for. He's too cool. He picked that up. Didn't have to tell him twice. He stayed up until I told him. Somebody who's actually a friend of many of us, from Foster. Stand up, mate. I want to thank God for this guy because he also spent a little time in Africa where I think we really connected down there. And he just told me, may I say it? He just told me on Thursday, he was just walking out the door and said, what are your plans? And he said, actually, I'm going to Korea for a year to teach English in Korea. And I'm just very impressed with that, and I want to thank God for you, and I'm glad you're doing that, man. God bless you. Thank you. So I'm just saying that because it doesn't matter whether you're helping deliver bread. It doesn't matter if... what the heck do you do, James? Yeah, no, he helps all the time with the... he helps deliver all kinds of things. Or whether you're driving trucks through Africa or going to Korea, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He qualified you to do this for him. So in case you have any doubt in your mind, you are good enough to serve God. You are good enough to serve God. Are we okay with that? Good. Let's go to Psalm 100 quick. Another thing I thought was really cool when I read this was the one of the stories, the couple of women were saying why they loved what they give thanks for. At Thanksgiving, they say, we thank God for smoke alarms because then we know the turkey's done. That was pretty good, wasn't it? And then another mother's thanks. We thank God for our teenagers so we can learn a second language. I thought that was pretty cool too, yes. And they all laugh because they know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to say this. It says, the Maasai tribe in West Africa have an unusual way of saying thank you. Translators tell us that when the Maasai express thanks, they bow and put their forehead on the ground. They're a pretty lean bunch. I don't know how they do that. But no, think about that. They put their head on the ground. And they say, my head is in the dirt. When members of another African tribe want to express thanks, they sit for a long time in front of the hut of the person who did them the favor and literally say, I sit on the ground before you. Those Africans understand well that Thanksgiving is why it's different for us, because at its core, Thanksgiving is an act of humility. I sit on the ground before you. And that's why I want to give thanks for people, because there are so many unsung heroes in the body of Christ. There's many more. I'm just talking about some of the ones that haven't been around so long. You know who you are, those who have been part of the church for as long as I have, or longer than I've been here. You know what you're doing for God, and that's where the reward comes. But I want to just take another 5 minutes on Psalm 100. One of the shortest psalms in the Bible. Only five little verses. But I tell you what, if you can get this verse, it's on your reading program, so make sure you read it this week. This is your reading program in your bulletin. There's five instructions in it, and it just says this: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, you can do that, can't you? That's not hard, is it? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, I'm good at that. Really? Yeah, I am. Hot pockets. I just feel like saying that. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's why it's important for us to sing. That's why I love being loud in church. I have to come and stand at the front, because if I stand behind you, you won't be able to hear anything else. Because I'm very loud. Didn't you see those funny looks Elaine gives me sometimes when I get a bit? Anyway, never mind. Listen to this, the next verse. Verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's so beautiful. But this is the verse we know so well. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You see why thanksgiving is so important? Remember that old song? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Who's never heard that song? Well, it goes like this. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my... I can't hear you. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Are you ready? Who said I can't sing? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Don't vote. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I want to encourage you with that. Just be joyful. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Many people, you don't know what the call of God is in your life. Well, let me tell you what it isn't. It isn't to grumble. It's to give thanks. And if you're the person who's going to give thanks, trust me, sooner or later, God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to guide you. God will begin to move upon you. It's very simple. I want to encourage each and every one of you. Be a thankful person. We live, in my opinion, in the greatest nation of the world. Not only today, but I believe this is the greatest nation in the history of the world. I don't know any other country that can offer such opportunity to the uneducated, the ungifted, the untalented, as well as the educated, the gifted, and the talented, as this country. This country, if you want it, you can get it. If you want to go to college, you can go to college. If you want to earn yourself and make a living, you can do it in this nation. You know, I've been to 72 nations in the world. I think a lot of you know that. So I've got something to compare it with in my mind. I know what lepers are. We don't have them in America, thank God. And all I do know is that we need to be a people despite the recession. It doesn't matter what the Dow Industrial's doing. It doesn't matter what we do or don't think the future of our country, which I have to admit, I don't think is very rosy. But we have to make a decision whether we're going to be a thankful people or a grumbling people. And if we're going to be a thankful people, trust me, you will be the sheep of his pasture, and he will bless you, and he will love you, and he will take care of you. Is that okay? Well, let's give the Lord a big thanks offering. That's all I got to say tonight. So go get a cup of coffee, and we're going to show the movie in half an hour. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not a grumbler, I'm thankful. And make sure you remind them about that next time you see them. Love you guys. Be blessed.